This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
It's officially episode 182. We celebrate the 80s as tradition on the undercard, and we are celebrating 1982 tonight. We did it, a year and a half ago. Who knows?
Was it that long ago?
Yeah,
doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
I like 1982 because that's when I started formulating memories as a child, born in 77. I remember 82 pretty good. That's when you started fondling mannequins at Hudson's at the time.
No, I started that in 80.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's very, this wee stuff, guys?
Yeah, very early. I was born in 76, but 80, I was like, ooh.
Exactly.
Where does this go?
And then, because I know that because
and I was horrified when I was like, those legs screw on.
And he's still in the security like book that's been transferred to Macy's. So they keep an eye on him when he walks through.
We were talking over that. It sounded really interesting, though. What'd you say?
No. We don't have to. You can listen to it on the podcast.
What?
On,
this is a podcast?
Detroit.com, yeah.
I thought this was. I thought when this was gone, it was done. That was it. There's a record of what I've said. Oh crap!
All right,
we're gonna need to delete all that. I got warrants, son. All right.
Who do we have on the show this week?
We have Cody Stamen. I think
Mr.
he's
Mr. Perfect.
Mr. That was Mr. Wonderful.
Touché.
There it is. Brad Snyder, not Mr. Perfect. I think he's trying to build back up his numbers of time on the show
because Barnes is
here, so it's like,
I know it's kind of neck and neck.
Like shooting
now.
The same for the hole,
right? And
not neck and neck.
It's kind of neck and neck. I don't know.
Well, he's way ahead.
I am way ahead.
Well, I don't think these two will ever be neck and neck because he's like 6 foot and Cody is like 4 foot something. So, Cody, I hope you're not listening. Is he coming? Is Cody going to be in studio or is he calling in?
No, he's going to be in studio.
Damn it. All right, do not tell him I said that. If any of you bastards tell him what I said.
First thing I'm going to tell him.
Yeah, thanks, appreciate it, Brad.
And we're going to make sure he sits right there.
That's great.
So all you can do is look him in the eye.
That's great. That's fantastic. And then, Jimmy, who else is on the show?
We have Daniel Strauss.
Oh, yeah.
He made Bellator fame.
Levi's, right? He was the inventor of Levi's.
Yes, I believe so. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome.
Current featherweight champion from Bellator. We're going to have him on the show, talk about a little bit about his life, Bellator, and some pretty sick videos that he posted on his Instagram account. And when I say sick, I mean awesome.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah. That's what? That's a hand?
I like it when the drill comes on.
I was like looking at my own hand going, nah, it doesn't look like that in there.
That was kind of cool.
It was weird.
Yeah, I got to meet Daniel and his family down at the Arnold, and so that's how the interview happened about. But he's excited to be on the undercard. We're excited to have him on the undercard. So
absolutely.
That'll be actually cool. That'll be about at the 8-10 mark. And then we're going to try to continue what we didn't even really start last week when we're talking sex and relationships.
Yes, and does it change a fighter's ability to fight?
If we can find the art of the relationships.
Well, last time I saw him when he posts on Facebook, he's on a roof somewhere.
With his own jacket.
Yeah, exactly. So
what?
I think Greg – you know, Batman v Superman comes out this weekend. I think Greg might be taking. Yeah,
okay.
I think we might be seeing a new vigilante.
Is that what it is?
Here. Yeah,
I'm sure
maybe.
That, I'm sure
maybe.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna steal a Dave Attell joke here really quick. But you know, you have a gambling problem if you're betting on Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you do have a gambling problem.
Yeah.
His was actually Alien versus Predator, but
right,
it's true.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, I got to have a wager on that. I don't know.
Yep. And then also on the show, kind of continuing what we were doing last week with the March Madness Super Power Picks, where we went through USA Today, I believe it was, and talked about the March Madness brackets and who would win. We decided, well, what if superpowers actually existed in the real world? And what if some very famous boxers and MMA fighters had superpowers? What would they be and how would they get them? So we're going to go over that a little bit later on in the show as well.
Sweet. Cody's here. I'm going to send Anthony. Do you mind going to Cody?
You know,
Marv gave you an accurate description, so you'll find him.
Do you know what he looks like?
You'll know. Just if you open the door.
Marv's just like, so like right here. Just
so before we introduce Cody.
Just remember, I have to run the board. So if he beats the shit out of me, there's nobody to run the board.
Hey, I can have Rochelle on the phone just rocking me through it.
Before we introduce Cody and go into all that good stuff, a couple things are happening in the world of MMA and boxing, so let's just tend to those. First off, it looks like a Conor McGregor rematch versus Nate Diaz is going to happen. First off, bad decision, Conor McGregor. It's a horrible decision. You should go back and
Are they going to do it at the same weight
your
again?
Title. Oh, yeah, it's going to be.
Okay, I didn't know if Nate was going to drop down a little
but
bit.
But it brings up a
when
good
was,
question.
When was their last fight? Oh, you said they're fighting again?
When we were at the Arnold.
So it was a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Wait, okay, so they fought. Okay, so they're already announcing we're going to do this again.
Yeah,
probably UFC 200.
Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So, but Conor McGregor, you know, he looked tired at that weight. Besides that weight, you could be potentially looking at a second loss versus Diaz, or he could beat Diaz. It doesn't matter. But I believe as a UFC champion, you got to go back down to your division and defend your title. Or I believe he should be stripped of the title for not going back down to the division and defending it. That's just me personally.
Had he gone up in weight class then?
Yeah, yes. He had gone in weight
class. But it was a non-title fight.
That's, but still, okay. Yeah. So like how far up? Like
what was it, two?
He went up
he went up two weight classes.
Yeah, two
he
weight
went
classes.
Up two weight classes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Cody's here. Whatever these assholes tell you is complete lies, Cody. They're trying to drive a wedge between our friendship. So whatever they say I said, it's lies. Jimmy actually
said it. We're not saying anything. We're going to let Cody listen to the podcast later on, and then he can form his own opinion.
Jimmy has been working on his impression of me.
So let me tell you what's happening behind the scenes is that you have Dana White who just basically had like the best gate with McGregor and Diaz.
Uh-huh.
Basically probably in his ear about having the rematch because I believe McGregor should go down and defend his belt. And if it's down the road again, do it. That's fine.
Is there anybody right now in his weight class that you think's ready to take the title shot?
Well, what about Aldo? I mean, Aldo.
Yeah, that's true.
I would pick Aldo still over McGregor. Yeah, there you go. Frankie Edgar.
Edgar gets a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, so Frankie Edgar thinks he's ducking him. So, you know.
He is.
Could possibly.
I think Frankie would whoop him.
You think so?
Cody just comes in late.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
I really do.
Okay.
So that's the problems I have with McGregor versus Diaz. Obviously, this UFC 200 card is going to be off the hook. There'll probably be five title fights.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I understand the marketability about it, but it's a wrong move for Conor McGregor. I just think that go down, defend your title.
Do you think it's maybe he doesn't really have a choice? Do you think maybe the company, is forcing him to do that?
No, I think there's like five people in the UFC that can say what they want to do. McGregor's one of them.
Okay.
Obviously, Ronda's one of them.
Why, yeah.
Holly Holm. Like, there's five people that they will listen to.
Okay.
And I think if he said, I want to go fight, you know, he brings up, you know, Frankie.
Right.
That's a great fight.
Yeah.
Might lose that fight.
Right.
Aldo went down like a ton of bricks, but the fight lasted 12 seconds.
Right,
if Aldo gets five rounds in,
yeah.
He could maybe beat McGregor.
Yeah.
I mean, Aldo hadn't lost, what, before that, 9 years or something stupid?
Yeah, it's only like a decade.
Yeah, so like, you know, Aldo deserves a rematch.
Did they both go up in weight class for that then?
No, Aldo, that was fought at...
So that was his weight, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a rematch versus Aldo or that happen, but that's happening too.
Yeah.
And then in Stranger... Crazy news. Barnes might know of this. There was a circus out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Was it Arizona?
in which
this, no idea.
Bart just gives you the, why are you looking at me?
It's Brad's magic voice again, remember? If Brad speaks, speaks it, it must be true.
You know, in Arizona.
In Arizona, yeah.
Remember?
Absolutely.
Remember you were out there yesterday?
Right. So when we started the undercard, we were the only ones that I knew of that combined MMA and boxing. Mm-hmm. And then Roy Jones Jr. did something where he did MMA and boxing down in Atlanta. And this you are fight thing out in Arizona combined pro wrestling, boxing, and MMA.
Okay.
Bear with me here.
Wow. Okay.
And so, Julian Fries.
So Roy Jones Jr. was going to fight an average Joe. And if you beat Roy Jones Jr., you won $100,000. You won $100,000.
Okay.
And,
well, just some dude.
Well, he had MMA experience, and he was 7-2 as an amateur boxing guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Roy Jones Jr. is one of my favorite fighters of all time.
Right.
So this is like equivalent to you watching Secretaria go to the glue factory. Like, it's painful to watch.
Too soon.
Like, it's painful to watch somebody you love doing this.
All right.
So he knocks the guy down in the second round. He doesn't beat the count. Obviously, you got Roy Jones Jr., no matter what age he is going to beat somebody that's not seasoned.
But he made it to the second round.
He did.
Okay.
And he goes off into the corner, Roy Jones Jr., and he leans up against there, and he's acting like he's all that. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, come on, Roy. Like, I want him now to leave the sport. If that's what he needed, a win to get away.
Okay.
And then Rey Mysterio, in a weird thing, wrestled Kurt Angle. Rey Mysterio won.
Okay.
It was just the weirdest event ever.
What?
It was something like we would create, and then I'd defend it if we created it, but because someone else did it, I'm like, no, that's
weird.
You said
it was in Arizona?
Oh, so yeah. That was all the same event.
Yeah, like,
I saw different articles. I didn't know it was
you
all
are fight.
Yeah. Have we explored the possibility that it was like a parallel dimension or something?
Did
Chelsea like,
grapple
yeah.
Michael Bisping in
yep,
that?
Yep, yep. There was a grappling match in it.
Okay.
And then Dan Severn was going to go against, I believe he didn't. Because Tank Abbott didn't pass his physicals, but he was supposed to go against Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock backed out of the contract. He's also facing much more legal problems in Texas because he tested for stuff. But Dan Severn, it looked like, was left out in the cold. I watched it after the fact, the Roy Jones Jr. thing. I just couldn't muster myself up. First off, I don't like streaming on a laptop, and it seems like that's where everyone's had in UFC Fight Pass. And no matter how good your connection is, no matter how good your computer is, there's still hiccups. The grappling tournament that the Gracie does out there, the Metamoris, they do it online. I have difficulties watching it. But this thing was a circus. It seems like we should have been involved. I don't know how we didn't get a call for this because it seems like something we'd be a part of. But they had actually had pro wrestling involved with regulated sports. And it was just an event. And Roy Jones Jr., you could have beat him and won 100.
And it wasn't like an intermission show or anything.
Now, I'd have liked to see.
Let's all go to the lobby and hear some wrestling.
Now, I'd have liked to see Roy Jones Jr. make it a little bit more exciting. Like giving Anthony Barnes or somebody that has been in it a little bit more a chance. You know, somebody.
Would you take that fight, Anthony?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just asking.
Like in a heartbeat.
I was just asking.
Roy Jones Jr.
I can use 100.
I'm just like, sure.
If you
like
get knocked down by him, you ask for his autograph.
Like pulled out of the audience.
You ask
like, would
for
you
his
be
autograph.
Pulled out of the audience to do it? Like I'm there, and he's like, "Oh, Anthony Barnes, I want to fight you. Get up here."
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking. Sure, I'm asking.
Dude, I'd take the fight.
I mean, like, I just got out of the gym, like sparring, like the WBC world champion, like.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like to today.
Not
so.
Name dropping.
Old
or
man.
Like.
Name dropping.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Yeah. So Barnes, that would have been more exciting to see. But hopefully Roy Jones Jr. walks away. I believe Rey Mysterio won.
He won, and so did
who won Sonnen, the grappling match?
It was a draw.
Of course it was.
Sonnen and Bisping.
That's
was
the problem
draw.
With Metamoris, yeah. too, the,
yeah.
the draws.
Yeah.
Because there's the no point
there was system. There was one other thing, but I was having a hard time reading the event. It was supposed to be Severn versus Shamrock, but that didn't happen. It was
because Shamrock
other,
pulled out. But
right,
the Tank Abbott thing didn't happen either. Though.
No, the Tank Abbott thing didn't happen either. Yeah.
But
see, here's the thing.
They found something seriously wrong with Tank Abbott. So look, this pre-fight physical might have saved his life.
Right. Well, but I mean, you could tell that there was something seriously wrong with Tank Abbott at UFC 1.
No, he wasn't at 1. He was at 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
When he started.
The biggest problem with Tank Abbott was cardio. All you had to do was run around, wait for him to put his hands on his knees and start huffing and
he
puffing.
He was called a pit fighter, if I remember correctly,
yeah.
at his first UFC. And all that meant was like he's a bar fighter.
Right, exactly. That's
fighter.
Exactly what it was.
He fought
at and that's exactly how he fought, too. He had big swings. He had big punches. If he hit you, you went down. The problem was if you could move even a little bit, you would wind him in a matter of moments. He put his hands on his knees, start huffing and puffing, and just walk up to him, knock him out.
Well, he fought Oleg Takharov.
Yeah.
Remember that
fight? Yeah, I remember that fight.
And Oleg had that skin that would, like, you just brush up against it and it
would bust open.
It looked bad.
Yep.
And I remember Tank, he was bleeding and it looked like a mess. I believe that happened. Yeah. I'd have to research it. It's been a while.
Yeah.
A few days in between, too. But right. I remember that, I think. But.
Isn't that crazy to think that's where the UFC was?
Oh, my God.
That long ago?
Well,
fast it's changed.
What was it, 96 was UFC 1?
No, 93 was UFC 1.
Oh, that's right.
But 96 is probably when Tank Abbott was.
Yeah, born. Yeah.
Well, let's not forget about the moat. Back in the real early days.
Yeah, with the blueprints.
The possibility of the moat, remember
Cody,
that?
Yeah. Cody's
or did
not
they
hurt.
Actually have the moat?
No, they didn't have a moat.
It was
no.
Okay. What? But it was like crazy stuff,
it
right?
It was
like,
crazy stuff, yeah. When they first drew the blueprints for what it was going to be, yes, there was a moat initially, and then they
very
changed it to
too.
The cat. Yeah, exactly. I wonder if Karate Kid 2 came out then.
Well, Karate Kid 2 was like mid-80s.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you're right. There was a moat, wasn't there?
Everybody walks in, gets one of those things that you rub back and forth.
Let's go to the ref, John McCarthy. Let's go to the ref, John McCarthy, as he throws the bridge into the boat.
Right?
It is serious now. No way off. Tank Abbott is happening.
Let's go ringside to Noriyuki Pat Morita. Now, what did he do wrong? What did he do wrong there?
He did not paint the fence.
He no talk
side
to drum.
To side. He no talk to drum.
Let's introduce our first guest. You know him.
You love him.
Yeah, you do. It might be whatever page he is in the program. He's number one in your hearts always. It's Cody Stamann. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. This is
he's usually the centerfold.
Right.
Well,
in
you
the books
know.
That Barnes is looking
at. He is fighting this weekend at Knockout Promotions. This is happening at the Deltaplex, and he is going to take what's his. Tell us a little bit about this fight. It's happening the day before Easter.
By the way, it's Cody Stamann is who we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, no, I introduced. What'd I do wrong?
I don't think you said his name.
You did.
Did he? Okay, yeah. I missed it then.
Right. Pay attention, Mark.
I'm too poor to pay attention.
That's true.
Well, tell us a little bit about this card.
This is the first pro show in Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids is where I grew up, so it's pretty cool for me to be able to headline a card in my hometown. I'm fighting a real tough guy from Florida, Farkad Sherpov.
Yeah, you can't say that on.
Wait, say that again?
Yeah. I want to say it's
Farquaad, from Shrek.
He's
Farquaad. Is Lord Farquaad?
Yeah, maybe.
Is he this tall?
I hope so. He's from Florida. He's a black belt. He's got a ton of fights. He's like 15-6. It's a real good opponent. All around, definitely a win-win for me. Fighting a guy like that in my hometown. I'm excited. I'm excited to finally fight. Fight at home. I haven't done it since I was like 18. So it's a big
deal. That was
for
me. Yesterday though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You're like young, right?
I'm not.
How long has it been? So 18. So how long has it been since you fought
eight
at
years.
Home? It's been 8 years since you fought. Wow. 26. So it's going to be like it's like a homecoming, right? There's going to be
Gonna
are you going to like go around and like visit
There's
the people that you didn't get along with in high school? Just be like, hey, come to my fight.
And get
yeah, my
off
fight.
Their people to kill list.
Right.
Go apologize to them.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm sorry for making fun of you, dude. He's crossing me out with his lipstick.
Well, the only place you could do an after party in Grand Rapids is the Bob, right? You're going to Bob, right?
I don't know where I'm going.
All right.
Hopefully the Bob.
See, I told you. That's the
it's
after
a good,
party.
It's a good place.
I don't know.
It's a good
Grand Rapids,
Rapids
all that well. There's an Irish pub I was at near the Amway Grand.
I was
going to
say
cool.
I know the piano bar by the Amway Grand, but that's about
Mojo's?
It. Yeah, I think that was a call.
Yeah.
Downtown Grand Rapids is blown up. It's like Royal Oak almost.
Yeah.
There's so many bars packed in like a little area.
There's a Panera down by there.
Panera, that's
good.
Oh, wow. that's how you know it's getting serious.
Yeah. Okay, the last time I was in Grand Rapids, no kidding, there was a bomb scare at the parking structure across the street from the Amway Grand. And so, we walked out to go to the bar, and, there was police tape everywhere. And we're like,
What?
we're all looking at each other like, your warrants? My warrants? What do you think? Whose warrants are they that you're calling in?
Not good. It was not good.
If you don't think you can make it because of Easter, this is a great thing. This thing will be streamed online. I will watch this online if I can't make it.
After Brad just got done bitching about how terrible, like, oh, it's terrible when they stream things online. Yeah. It's awful. I would never watch it. So this is being streamed, and I'm going to watch it.
GFL.TV. I don't believe because of the Golden Gloves commitment that I have, I don't believe I can be there live, which sucks because I do believe that Cody will probably – this might be your last fight in Michigan. Let's be honest. You hit 10 wins if you win this.
Yeah.
Don't you mean win?
No, for sure. I've always thought Cody Stamann, and he knows this. In fact, this guy has bigger and better things ahead of him. You get your 10 win, you got to be thinking bigger and better things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm always thinking that. But, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of really good opportunities lately, you know, pending how I do on this fight. I think I'm going to do great. I'm in good shape. I'm healthy. And those are two things, you know, being healthy coming into a fight. I mean, trying to stay healthy in a fight camp is difficult because you're going at it every day. So, you know, I'm pretty fortunate to be going in there, you know, 100%. So, yeah, I mean, after this, who knows what's going to happen. I always say that I'm going to be in the UFC right after this fight, and then it's one more and one more. But I've had some really some big promotions talk to me lately, so – you know, I'm definitely looking at something big.
Let me fill in the audience on how the interview process is going today. For 182 episodes, I've never had a day off. So I'm having a day off. I'm just going to ask you the fun questions. These two guys over here are going to ask you the fight questions. This is my first day off here, so my questions are going to be a little fun.
Okay.
Have to ask fight questions?
Well, I know he's ready.
So, Cody, what's fighting like?
It's good.
Yeah? Do you throw punches and stuff?
I do it all.
No, but I was trying to think.
You ever kick a guy?
One time.
Yeah?
One time.
No, you're also good looking, so that's also the markability that you're very
blushing.
Welcome. As a matter of fact, I had an idea the other day, and I'll run it by you right now, and I'll run it on the air. You and Troy Lamson are the favorites of all our ring girls. Like, I mean, they crush on you. Yes. Right?
Pretty boy Troy.
Yes. Yeah. So
pretty boy Troy.
You guys are everybody's favorites. So have you ever seen the Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze dance off Chippendale? Can we make this happen for charity?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We just got to get Troy on board.
Oh, I'm sure Troy's involved.
I just have to get hammered before I do it.
How do you think we made it to 182 episodes if we get hammered before? But no, I thought for charity, I think, hey, you know, let's have a dance-off exactly like the Chippendale thing with Chris Farley.
That'd be hilarious.
And just raise money for some cause. But all right, yeah. Jimmy, ask your
question. Well, all right. I mean, we know you pretty well. I've seen a bunch of your fights. I mean, what's the next step for you? UFC, Bellator, King of – or World Series of Fighting. Like, what do you want to do next?
Well, obviously, the ideal thing is the UFC. You know, the not necessarily because the original paycheck is more, but because the exposure and just being a UFC fighter means so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make so much money outside of the UFC when you are in the UFC. So the UFC is always been my main goal.
Ultimate goal.
Yeah, that's where I want to be. That's where I want
to
fight.
Now, would you go to like Bellator for a while and get some more exposure, or it's UFC or nothing?
I think I'm ready for the UFC. I really, in the past, you know, like on a 6-0, 7-0, I was saying like, yeah, I want to fight in the UFC, but was I actually like ready? I don't know that I was.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just because.
Do you think a few more fights and you'll be ready? Do you think you're ready right now?
I think I'm ready now. Legitimately think that, you know, I can honestly say that I think I'm ready to fight in the UFC. Like the time I spent in Vegas, I spent a lot of time with guys that, you know, are elite level guys in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I could beat any of them in a fight. You know what I mean? If I got in the cage with them, I felt like I'd win. So, you know, that was a huge confidence, you know, just because you put people on a pedestal. You see him on this big stage, and you're like, man, this guy's he's so good. He's so much better than me. And then you're standing in front of him, you know, every day, you know, for a few months, and you're like, you know, this guy is not any better than I am.
Okay,
you know what I mean? You kind of kick that pedestal out, and that's like it's a big mental thing for fighters. I think that, you know, you have to go experience that. You have to go get with guys. You know, like Barnes was saying, he's sparring with the champ, like one of the best guys in the world. You know, you need that. You need that experience. It does a lot. Even if he's getting the better of you, like, you know that you can stand in front of a guy like that. It does a lot for your confidence and the mental aspect of fighting. So,
and let's put this in perspective too. He actually has his 10th win because that was the bad decision.
No, I don't count. I don't count that one. That one doesn't count.
So to me, everybody that knows the fight game knows he's still undefeated because that was bad.
Yeah,
decision.
I mean,
that's fighting though. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I've been seeing some really horrible calls.
Yeah,
in the UFC and in all these different promotions.
Yeah,
the guy can clearly wins all three rounds. There was a couple in this last TXC show, and you're like, oh, this guy won by a landslide. And then
the decision went the other
decision
way.
Goes to the other guy, like split decision to the other guy.
Yeah.
And you're like sitting here like,
maybe it's
kidding,
the conspiracy theorist in me, but like, do you think it's like to like generate controversy?
No, that was just bad Michigan jokes.
That was it.
No, I don't mean like I don't mean like hit. I mean
think,
like
talking
about
think,
UFC.
You gotta think.
Yeah,
I don't. It's hard to find a judge that really really knows the sport of MMA. Like we kind of get like the overspill of like a lot of boxing judges. So if you're a boxing judge, like if all I've done my whole life is box, like I'm going to be partial to the guy that's winning the stand up battle. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to want to see two guys stand in front of each other and bang it out. So if you got one guy that's maybe winning the stand up, but the other guy's taking the guy down and just beating the hell out of him on the ground. The boxing judge is still going to look at this. You know, he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't even know what's going on the ground. He doesn't understand anything that's going on. All he sees is the stand up, and that's what he bases his decision on.
You know, Merv got a couple shitty decisions on EA Sports UFC 2.
I did. And
when it went to the scorecards, he was like,
serious.
I was using cheat codes and everything. And
he was
like,
on career mode,
and
it set him back, baby. It set him back.
It was terrible.
But you've been around Darren. Darren was until recently with UFC, so you know how it works because UFC's a machine. Having been around it, when they invade a city, it's like clockwork. I think that's an advantage to you. You've seen how it works behind the scenes. There's nothing like it. They plan ahead. They hit the town. They do it. You learned a lot from that.
Oh yeah. I think I've been to cornered guys in like almost 20 UFC fights. So I've been to a ton of fights,
right?
And to see how the UFC works, and I've cornered a lot of guys in Bellator too. I've cornered probably 10 guys in Bellator fights too. So, but they both work like machines. But the UFC is just, I don't even know, the people that run the UFC, the marketing, like everything is so organized, so structured. It's insane, you know. It's insane. Like the atmosphere, the energy, it's crazy. It really is. It's something I want to be a part of. You know, that's what really motivates me every day.
Now you say you cornered a bunch of guys in the UFC and in Bellator. You were out in Vegas for a camp. I mean, have you heard any rumors, talks, anybody approach you about coming on board? Or
I actually had after I lost that fight, I talked to the UFC matchmaker, and he basically came up to me and he was like, "Hey, man, I definitely thought you won that fight.
Okay,
it was a good fight. We'd love to have you. You got to go out and get some wins against some veterans." Some tough veterans, you know, because they're not going to invest a ton of money in you if they're not 100% sure, because they're picking from. Anyone around the world. They can have anybody they want.
Yep.
They just snap their fingers and he's on the roster. So,
right.
You know, for you to get in the UFC, it's a little bit different. You know, boxing, I feel like guys, they kind of build themselves up for a big fight to where, if you want to get in the UFC, like, if you take three really, really tough guys right off the bat, you can be 3-0 and go in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they just want you to fight tough guys. They want to see how you perform against, you know, elite-level competitors. And that's what I've been doing. I've been fighting guys with twice as many fights as me, and I've been the last couple went really well, and you know this one I think will be
same.
The same. Yeah.
All right, good.
I want to knock him out.
No, Bjorn, back when he was in charge of Bellator, we had this conversation after the rest of the media left, and you know the question that Bjorn got the most was, you know, how do I get into Bellator? And he said that, you know, technology has made their job easy, and he also said that someone's always watching. Like he said, UFC, that doesn't surprise me. They probably have somebody that watches every card that's streamed somewhere. And when you don't think they're watching, they are watching. Once again, another opportunity that this thing's going to be streamed or available online that Cody's going to get a look.
Yeah.
You think you're going to get a finish or any predictions on this one?
I don't know how it's going to go. I don't think guy's ever been finished. But, you know, I'm looking for a finish from the time – the bell rings till the time I get my hand raised at the end of the night. I know I'm going to win.
Right, yeah.
I know I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win. And I'm going to perform. We'll see how tough he is. If he's feeling real tough, maybe I win a decision. But If not, you know, if everything goes right, I put him out in the first 30 seconds and I walk away and go drink a beer.
But, right.
I mean, that's
well, like, you, I mean, let's be honest. You're going to drink a beer after no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
It's just it's the level of beer. If he right, loses, exactly. It's like a Miller Lite. Yeah. If he wins, it's Oberon. Right. I mean, it's
exactly.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, I think knock wood, not to jinx, when you are in the UFC, are you ready for the added pressure that has to come with that? Like, or how are you preparing for it?
I think, honest to God, I think there's more pressure on me now than there would be once I'm there. You know what I mean? There's more pressure now, especially fighting at home. You know, I'm going to have, I sold like, I want to say like 350 tickets. There's going to be like probably 700-800 people there specifically to watch my fight. There's a lot of pressure on this fight. You know what I mean? I think it's leading up to it that there's more pressure. You know, like Darren said, he's like, dude, I used to get 100 times more nervous for my fights, you know, getting into the UFC. But once I got there, it was like, all right, I'm in the show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Barnes nodding his head. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, like before I got signed with Top Rank, like I was like, okay, you know, there's talks, you know, I can go with, you know, this person or that promotional company, whatever. And, you know, so we had to sell tickets. We had people there. You have to train. You have to win. You know, because if not, you know, that's your life depends on it, really. So, you know, you're not there yet. Your name's not on that piece of paper. So, like, you have a lot leading up. And then right after the fight, then you get the phone call, get the contract, then you're good. And now all you have to do is win. Just keep winning, and that's it.
So how far down the road are you looking then? Like, so the goal now is get into UFC. What's next?
No, Saturday. He ain't looking past Saturday.
No, so that's okay. So, I mean, really, I haven't really thought about any of that stuff.
Okay.
The only thing I've been focused on is Saturday night.
Is there a long-term goal, or you just don't even worry about that?
Yeah, I mean, the long-term goal is obviously, you know, to make it as high up the ladder as you can.
Okay.
It's really simple. That's –
And then eventually make it into an Expendables movie, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's undercard.
Once you've done that,
yeah. Undercard host, it's a right. Pinnacle movie.
Yeah, there it is.
Right, right. Yeah, of course. Exactly. Of course.
That's the pinnacle of the sport.
That's when you know you've made it.
Right. The undercard host. Yeah.
Well, I meant the Expendables movie. But
well, I mean, Barnes, you know, I mean, you know, that's how he's gauging that.
I was going to say, Barnes was not an Expendables movie.
Yeah.
Not yet. You're thinking of Sylvester Stallone. That was
maybe.
Don't see the resemblance.
No,
actually, no. You're thinking of Dolph Lundgren. Yeah, absolutely. You're thinking
of very young Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, very young Dolph Lundgren.
I must break you. Exactly. I got to ask you this, Cody. So everybody's aware of the Chuck Norris memes and jokes, right? So there are a few floating around about you.
There are.
I just kind of want to float them by you and tell me if they're true or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is Cody Stamann once sued Little Caesars for trademark infringement. He is the original Hot and Ready.
I like that one.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
No, so that's true. That's true. All right. Cody Stamann once impregnated a room full of women just by walking in.
That hopefully is not true.
Cody Stamann never wears a shirt, still gets service.
No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service.
Yeah, that's right.
Cody Stamann is your mom's favorite.
Is that true? That's
so
true.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
During a solar eclipse, the sun is actually hiding from Cody Stamann.
I don't think that one's
true.
No, really?
True.
Okay.
I think that one's right. That was absolutely
that
true.
That sounds like Chuck.
Is that yours?
A lot of these are mine. Hot and Ready one was mine.
NASA's next generation of rocket will be punched into space by Cody Stamann.
Let's hope so.
All right. And there's one more here. I just got to get down. I got to get down to it here. Do you remember another one, Marv?
Oh, there were a bunch of them.
Yeah, there were.
That Hot and Ready one's funny because one of my buddies used to always ask a girl if she's got $5 because I'm hot and ready.
Really?
So it reminded me of, yeah. You have $5 because I'm hot and ready.
When Cody Stamann comes to your birthday party, you sing happy birthday to him.
Yeah. I think that's true.
And there's
birthday suit.
And come in your birthday suit. That's right. And there's one more, if I can find it. It had to do with birthdays again. Cody is not allowed to go to girls' birthday parties because everybody thinks he's their gift.
True.
I mean, at one point I might have been.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
Back in my stripper days.
Oh, yeah, there you go. All right.
I thought I recognized you somewhere.
That was you.
That was you.
You popped out of that cage.
So we had fun knowing you're coming on this week, coming up with
those. Yeah.
We were excited. Yeah, that's awesome.
Those are just the ones that I can say on air.
Yeah. We were like, some we want.
Right, exactly.
We'll share the other ones at the break.
Awesome. Well, we should go to our first music break. Speaking of breaks, we'll come back and we got more Cody's statement. We're going to talk about if you got nothing going on this Saturday, Deltaplex. It's Knockout Promotions 48, I believe, or 46, and it's happening at the Deltaplex. Cody's statement's the main event. And the other curious thing, if you're an MMA fan, this is the first real AMI MMA card. There was one fight at Joe Battaglia's fight that fell under the new rules. But this is actually the first real AMI card of a couple fights under the new rules.
Oh, okay.
So
just very cool
for history. All right, so we'll be back in 5 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, everybody. We were chatting with Cody off on the break. We are back with Cody Stamann. He fights this weekend. We might make a road trip now. We're planning.
We might, yeah. You don't know. But if we can't make it, and it's supposed to stream, what's it going to stream on? Where can I stream it if I can't make it?
GFL.tv.
What is it?
That's what you said.
GFL.
I don't know.
Well, it's on Cody's page.
Okay.
All right, I'll find it.
My computer went.
I just know I got to strap gloves on and some spandex shorts and go fight somebody.
That's right. Did you just say strap on?
All right, here's the.
That's what I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that just goes to Marv. So anyway,
I can jump in there with the Twitter questions. And
okay, yeah. So what, somebody
wait,
had
goes,
a.
It goes to Marv. What do I have to do now?
Somebody had a burning, Twitter question for you earlier this week about wearing belts and what you thought about people from Michigan wearing their multiple belts from multiple promotions. And I remember you answering this.
There's only There's only one belt. Maybe a couple. Like if you have a UFC, a legit UFC belt, you can carry that fucker to the grocery store if you want. You know what I mean? like you're the champ. You're the best guy in the world. It's like boxing. There's like three belts that you can wear around, and that's it. Like these guys that walk around with like these with like five belts on their shoulder. I mean, that's just it looks unprofessional. It looks dumb. Like if you're a real fighter and you see a guy doing that, you want to smack him. It's like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, why? You don't walk around with a trophy in your hand. Like,
Daniel's calling in right now.
Okay. You want to introduce him, Jimmy?
Hello.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, sorry. Yeah, we had a little technical snafu. He had to call us from a different phone. So he called in now. So
we have Daniel Strass. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stress.
Sorry, I'm out in California, had hand surgery, lost my phone, so.
Yeah, we saw the hand surgery.
We'll get to that. That was pretty impressive. But,
that was intense.
We got Daniel Strass. He's a current featherweight Bellator champion. This is your second time winning the belt, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, and has been fighting with Bellator since 2010.
It was 2010, wasn't
2010,
it?
2010, yeah. Right?
It's been a while.
Well, yeah, it's been a while.
He knows all this information. Jimmy, let him tell us.
Right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into MMA? Looking at your Wikipedia page, seems like you had a little trouble growing up and then got into MMA. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's been a ride, man. I'll tell you this. I need to write a book in the next couple of years. But growing up was good. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I went to a school called Sycamore. Wrestled there, was an outstanding wrestler. I didn't have my head on straight. You know, I was just one of a basic kid. You know, I ran the streets, got in trouble. Didn't really apply myself, and 2003 was the year I got kicked out of school. It was my senior year. Didn't graduate, but I ended up playing third at state that year. Got kicked out, came back and won senior nationals. Got a few offers to go to some good schools, but I just didn't have the grades or the drive to go to any kind of college at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I just kind of did my thing, ran the streets, got in trouble. Got arrested, went to jail, and kind of changed my life from there. So, you know, coming out in like, oh, I think it was like 08. I came home and I ran into a buddy, and he knew the potential I had, and he had known me from growing up in wrestling. And he tried to bring me to the gym. Was like, hey, it's a funny story. I met him. I hadn't seen him, this guy, in like 4 or 5 years. And then for some reason, it had to be fate. I kept seeing him 4 weekends in a row. I would see this guy, and he would always ask, hey, bro, come to the gym. You need to come start fighting. I kept telling him, like, no, no, no. And then by the fourth time, I was tired of seeing this guy. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to come to the gym. I'm going to try it once. And thank God I did. You know, a couple years later, I'm a Bellator 2-time champ. I'm ranked in the top 10 in the world. I couldn't be more blessed than I am now. I have beautiful friends, family, and fans that have been supporting me forever. And, you know, it's been a ride, like I said.
So do you would you say then that, you know, obviously what you've been through, like, it hardened you, like, made you help make you, like, as tough as you are? Or do you look back on that and regret, like, things that happened, or?
There's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
One of my biggest moments in life, man, was my biggest passion was the NCAA Nationals. You know, I always just wanted to go to school and be a national champ. And mm-hmm. I knew I could become a national champ. And, you know, going to jail and, not going to college and all that stuff, it hurt me. You know, mm-hmm. it made me realize that, you know, there's certain things in life that you have to, you know, do in life to succeed and move forward and stuff like that. But at the same time, yes, definitely. This is everything I've been through has helped me mold me to who I am. And I don't regret any of it. You know, as much as I sometimes think about it and dwell on it, I don't regret any of it. You know, I'm here for a reason. God has blessed me and put me here, you know, in front of viewers, in front of, you know, young kids, in front of, you know, all type of people, mainly because of what I have been through. You know, I'm the type of person that can tell, any child or any struggling person that, hey, you don't give up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That you can always make it. You know, you can always, as long as you work hard, as long as you put your mind to it, you can definitely make it over the top. So everything I've been through, man, it's just been building blocks for me.
Right. So you started training in the gym. Started training in MMA. How did you get into Bellator? Tell us about that.
I originally started with Bellator. How it happened was I had been fighting for my first year in fighting, which is almost unheard of. I had 11 fights that year.
Wow.
You know, which was off the chain. So I was just trying to knock out fights. I wasn't in a position where I was looking to be a Hall of Famer. I wasn't looking to be a world titleist. I wasn't looking to be famous. I really wasn't looking to fight in any major organization. I just really wanted to make some money and pay my bills. And after racking up some wins, we had approached. At the time, the matchmaker was a guy named Sam. We had approached Sam, or I had fought a little local fight for them. And won, and I didn't get a call back, but we had approached Sam again, and, you know, I told him I was ready to fight again, and he asked me, at the time I was fighting at 55, and he said he didn't need any more 55s, but if I could fight 145, you know, I'd be in there. So there came the birth of Daniel Strauss as a 145er, and I started fighting in the tournament, did really well in the first tournament, mm-hmm. and, you know, here I am.
I would have said, how about I fight at 165 and then just ate a couple of Twinkies and gone like the easier route, you know? It's always easier to put 10 on.
Hey, Daniel, this is – oh, no, you can answer that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Daniel, this is Brad. Talk to you down in the Arnold. Thanks for joining us on the undercard here really quick. When I think of a Bellator fighter, I think of you, and I think of like a Ben Askren – in the past, who's been with Bellator. Tell me what's going through your thoughts when they have Ken Shamrock versus Royce Gracie and they have Dada go against Kimbo Slice when there's a lot of talent still in Bellator. I mean, I'm not expecting you to chuck Bellator under the the fence here are under a bus, but I mean, what's going through your heads as fighters?
It's like this. I feel like this. You know, I respect those guys a lot. They've made the game. They gave me an opportunity to even be a more.
Oh, we might have lost him again.
Daniel, can you hear us?
Yeah, we're losing you, Daniel. Are you like in a bunker or something?
Are you there, Daniel?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, you start your answer over again.
Maybe put some tinfoil on the antenna.
Well, you know, I have a lot of respect for those guys, the Shamrocks, you know, Dada, Kimbo, all those guys. You know, they put in a lot of work for me to be able to be where I'm at. And, you know, but I feel like now is a different time. You know, having them fight main events and stuff like that, that's, I think it's silly, but it does bring, you know, it brings the eyes. But, you know, there's a lot of us fighters in Bellator that have worked our ass off. I mean, really worked our ass off to get in those positions. You know, I fought for Bellator for years, and, you know, I've had a few co-main events. I've had a few main events and stuff like that, and I like to think that I keep the viewers in the seats. But, yeah, definitely, it's hard to see, you know, bad matchups and stuff like that, and people down the company that you're with because you know how good the company is because of a few bad fights. But yeah, with headlines like that, I just think it's silly.
Now, you work out with America Top Team. Tell us about what makes America Top Team so special. I think you're the second or third person we've had from there, but why is that the gym when you can go anywhere in the world to train? Why is that the gym that has Daniel's services?
I came to this gym because I had this connection to Florida. I used to live in Florida when I was about 18, and I knew I was going to come back. I didn't know how I was going to get back here or why I was going to get back here. And, you know, like I said, after I came home from jail, I started slowly learning more and more about the MMA. And one of my favorite fighters that I had paid attention to was Thiago Alves, obviously from American Top Team. And I started, like, loving his style. And then I had met George Masvidal invited me down, and it was a wrap from there. You know, I came down, started doing my camps, and everyone treated me like family. I love all the guys here. And I realized that I was really blessed with the opportunity to come to American Top Team. So I just stayed.
Now, let's go over. You just had some hand surgery. Which hand was it? Your right or your left?
It was my left hand.
Left hand. Okay, so let's go through the actual fight. You were fighting Patricio Freire for the featherweight championship, and you broke your hand, I believe it was in the first round?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, did you know that it was broken right off the bat, or did you not realize it until after you kind of got to the corner or after the fight? Walk us through that.
I knew it was broke immediately. If you go back and watch the fight, in the first round, there was a time where we were tied up, and he kind of, I can't remember how he got away from me, but I kind of went to my knee, and as he approached me, I jumped up and I hit him with a flying knee. Well, coming down, when I was hitting him from a knee, out of instinct, I just swung my left hand and hit him on the temple, which made it a clean break on my second metacarpal, which is like my pinky finger.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly, I heard a break, I heard a snap, but I wasn't sure that it was broke. I was kind of a mental thing, like, okay, you know, I think it's broke, but maybe it's just your finger.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I would punch, it would snap out, and I would have to reset my hand.
Can we just let that sink in for a second? The man just said every time I would punch, it would snap out, and I'd have to reset it.
You don't want a doctor to stop it. So, if you're serious about taking care of business, you're re-snapping it back in.
God, if I stub a toe, I'm whining like a bitch for like 3 days.
So the surgery was successful. So when about can we see you back in the cage?
First off, I have to give a huge, huge shout out to Dr. Stidham out in San Jose for my hand, man. It's a lot worse than what people see. You know, it was really bad in the fight, and it's been a couple months, and it hasn't been healing up at all. And he went back in, and we just pulled out all the stops. Bone graft, we did a plate, we did...
yeah, we saw the plate.
it's good. It's feeling good now. I'm hoping that I can be back, pushing it early. I'm hoping I can be back late July, early August.
Okay.
Realistically, I think I'll be back in the cage, you know, September, October. But you know, if I can get two fights by the end of this year, I'll be happy. One fight is more realistic.
Well, in honor of Batman, Superman, and what we were talking about last week with superheroes, we were giving fighters superpowers. I was curious what you thought your superpower was, and I was going to give you one. I was going to give you endurance because you accomplished a 12-fight winning streak. Not only did you do that, you doubled it up with another fight winning streak that was over six. That's pretty incredible in MMA. You don't see it too often. So I would give you endurance as your superpower. What would your superhero superpower be?
My superpower would be invisibility.
Invisibility.
Invisibility. All right.
Now, see, I think you missed a golden opportunity since they were in there doing surgery on your hand to get yourself some Wolverine claws.
I can't let people know what they put in my hand yet.
Oh, I got it. Okay, go. Super secret. My apologies for letting the cat out of the bag.
You got one for Daniel?
Well, I was going to say, if I had to pick a superpower for you just based on your last fight and the surgery, I would say your superpower is a very, very high tolerance for pain. Probably a little bit of a healing factor, like Wolverine.
Yeah. That's why the claws
exactly,
would be perfect.
Exactly.
I can see that. I can see that. The pain tolerance is kind of high. You know, you get in there, you get punched a lot, so it's like, you know, after a while, you don't care about it too much anymore.
We're also joined by Cody Stamen, pro MMA fighter. What superpower would you give Daniel? You've been around the fight game, you know him. Cody, you gotta give him a superpower.
Freak athletic ability. Is that a superpower?
Freak athletic ability?
Yeah.
He's an awesome athlete.
Yeah. All right.
What up, Cody, man? What's going on, bro?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm all right, man.
Take care of that hand, dude. I just broke mine last year. It sucks. But
yeah,
doing things with one hand. People don't realize how hard that is.
Tell me about it.
Try putting your pants on with one hand. It's not easy.
That's why I just wouldn't wear pants.
Yeah.
What about you want to give him a superpower, Marv?
I gave him a superpower. Okay, the claws. I would have the doctor go back in and graft claws in there.
Oh,
and maybe they did. He won't. We can't say.
He won't say.
Yeah. It may have happened. Yeah. So.
Well, Daniel, it was great having you on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to catch up with you your next fight, if that's okay. We'd love to stay in contact with you when you, got something coming up. Sound good?
Yes, sir, man. I want to appreciate you. I want to say thank you. I appreciate you guys for having me come on. I really apologize for the miscommunication with my phone. It's been a hell of a day.
You know what? This show is plagued with phone problems. The fact that you simply had to call from a different one, like at least you called from a different one. You don't know how many times we've gotten voicemail or, you know, calling people like, oh, yeah, call me at 8. And it's just like, yeah, they're not answering at all. Yeah.
Right.
So the fact that you called from a different, like, we're doing backflips if we could. But thank you again so much for being on. And we definitely will keep in touch with you.
For sure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care, Dan.
Right, see ya.
All right. That was pretty awesome.
All right. So we're going to go that last slider. Yep. Okay. We're going to go, say, 8 o'clock hour. We're going to do the typical What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. All right, hold on here. Do. We got to get the... Oh, it's not working. Anyways, no intro. Okay. There you go. All right. Thanks for the intro, Marv. All right. So What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. All right. March 25th. This is actually, I think it's a short week because of Easter. So March 25th at Miami, Oklahoma on Showtime, Regis Prograis versus Aaron Heria, 10 rounds for the junior welterweights. Indio, California, Estrada TV, Antonio Orozco versus Miguel Acosta, 10 rounds for the welterweights. In London, Gary Coravan versus Danny Butler, 12 rounds for the junior middleweights. March 26th at Oakland, California, HBO, Andre Ward versus Salvian Barrera, 12 rounds, light heavyweights. At Sheffield, England, Cal Brook versus Kevin Beiser, 12 rounds for Brooks, IBF welterweight title. Also in London, Nick Blackwell versus Chris Eubank Jr., 12 rounds for Blackwell's British middleweight title. And moving on to MMA, March 25th, LFC Legacy Fight Championships 52, the Golden Nugget Casino in Lake Charles, Louisiana. JF Jungle Fight in Brazil on March 26th. March 26th, HBO Boxing, Ward versus Barrera. March 26th, Trophy MMA 8, Easter Bash 2 in Sweden. And March 27th.
Did you really just say Sweden?
Sweden, yeah.
Sweden, yeah.
Sweden, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Go. We're going to go into the hot tub after, yeah. All right.
With the Canadians, apparently.
March 27th, Budo 13, Yusuf versus Gavin in Manchester, England. And that's, once again, What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
There's something going on in Grand Rapids, too, this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, nothing you want to see, though.
Knockout promotions.
That's right.
There's nothing big, though. Nobody that you know.
Cody Stamon.
Nobody.
Cody Stamon. And who's your opponent?
Farquad Sheriff.
Farquad. It's Lord Farquad. Lord Farquad.
That's right. Oh, it's Lord Farquad.
Giving his opponent bulletin board material. What the hell are you guys doing? I got your back, Cody.
Well, this guy probably wants to kill me. If you heard any enemies, listen to me butcher his name 100 times.
Well, that's how you get him. You get in his head, right? You start calling him Farquad during the fight.
Exactly.
We also
you know what you ought to do? No, you ought to like get like a little Farquad stuffed doll and keep it in your corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
I accidentally called him fuckhead in an interview.
Yeah, he accidentally called him that.
It really was an accident.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, what'd you say? Did you say fuckhead? And I was like, I don't think so. He's like, you did say fuckhead.
The best part about that exchange right there is Cody like leaned out, still clearly on the microphone.
Yeah. Hey, can I say fuck? Is that cool?
All right. That's all right. We'll have to edit a solo.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll be able to use about 5 minutes.
You know what we'll do from now on? Whenever anybody drops the F-bomb, we're going to replace it with Cody saying fuckwad.
It's awesome.
Cut it out. What the Farquad are you talking about?
What the Farquad are you talking about?
See, that's what the Nicer Studio does for us, though. He felt the need to ask.
Yeah.
The old place.
Yeah.
We were just letting
him have to ask. You know, they're in a warehouse.
Well, the old place was.
You know you can swear there.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you had to there.
Right.
It's like.
So that way you could keep the rats and the drugs.
Yeah, right. Like you had to just be filthy so that even the rats would just be like, oh, I'm not
no,
going
hell
in
no,
there.
No.
That place was sweet, though.
Was it? I don't know that it was, actually.
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked
well, you can feel
I had
free
a very to Detroit feel to it.
Or well yeah. You can feel free to go back there anytime you want.
No, I'm not alone.
You know, well, I was going to say, the door next to the studio.
That is a championship fighter saying that he would not go to that place alone. I just want that out there.
No, I don't. Yeah.
This man arguably could take out most people in the city. And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't go there by myself. That is fucked up. No, well, not a chance.
I don't think it's a big secret where we used to be. We used to be at the Russell Industrial Center. And those steps were hell for all of us. And I remember you and Darren come to the show. And Darren and you are in incredible shape. And Darren's like, what the fuck's wrong with these stairs? Yeah, the fourth floor.
These stairs suck.
Yeah. Right. Like, something's seriously wrong with those effing stairs. They're like steep and narrow.
Well,
just to compare, Barnes was like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. I just started running up the stairs.
Yeah, Barnes like, these
running
are awesome.
Down the stairs. I'll get a little bit of training in.
The first time we ever went there, I was just like, this is a joke, right? Like, you're kidding me? This, like, I believe that we're doing a show just not here.
You're right?
Like, they used to build seats over here or something. I'm not
You know, right. When we used to come, Darren and I used to have like I'd always had a gun or two on me. He always had one in the car.
Oh yeah.
Well, but that Darren like, just always I'm has a gun on him though. I mean
that's true.
And he would carry that 9/11. Like I remember the first night he's like, look what I got, and he pulls out literally a hand cannon. Like he pulls out this like chrome 9/11. I was like, where the hell did you have that? And then I'm like, actually don't answer that question.
Yeah, he's got one that shoots out of his butt, I'm pretty sure. Just in case he gets stripped.
You know what?
Just in case he gets stripped.
I honestly
I would not doubt that. I really wouldn't. Bend over.
You pull his finger and a gun pops out.
Yeah, exactly. Takes your finger off.
He's like, do you have any concealed weapons on you, sir? Well, I got one on my hip, one on my boot, one up the old poop chute.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you got like a little.
Why don't you go in there and find out?
They're like, you got a little 32 in there? Nope. It's a 9/11.
Right.
Yeah. We got to also give a shout out. The Metro Detroit Golden Gloves, they have their tournament next week. Yep. That's happening March 31st through April 3rd. It's happening at the Kronk on Metatol Street. We'll post information all week. $10 advance tickets. You get to see the amateurs go at it before they become professional boxers. Joe Lewis was once in this tournament. How cool is that to have that kind of legacy?
Absolutely.
Also that, we got to give a shout out to the Fight Boss, Joseph Donofrio, who I talked to multiple times today. His event's happening April 9th at Joe Lewis Arena. The Impact Fight League is back. And then we do know where the weigh-ins are the previous day. Come by and check out the weigh-ins at Hooters in Troy from 6 to 8 the Friday before. So, yeah, we got a lot going on.
Barnes was posting the picture of the trophy throughout the week.
Trophy's awesome.
It is awesome, but you said it hasn't been given out in like 70 years?
75 years.
Like, why?
I guess in 1942, I believe, like Golden Gloves like kind of fell off because of the war and everything. And then it came back later on in the 60s or 70s or something like that.
They just weren't using that
anyway,
trophy.
Anyway, and they stopped using the trophy. Okay. Only 9 people have ever actually won that trophy, and Joe Lewis was one of them.
Who was the last person to win it? Do you know?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway.
If only we had a board member of Golden Gloves who could get us that information.
Because we go through history before we start board meetings.
I donate to the Golden Gloves. I don't know. Board member Brad.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you would think, you know, if we had, like, an official, like, some kind of – if we had the phone number or the email or, let's say, sitting at the same table as maybe an official of some kind.
Joe Lewis has won the award. Yeah, so you want to win the award.
Right. That's all that matters. Yeah. All that matters.
The trophy itself was pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
It's not for, like, it's not for open fighters. No. It's for novice fighters.
Okay.
So, it's the most promising novice fighter, and whoever won it in the past, I guess, you know, go along with their life and their career, they've had a really good career. So
okay.
It's supposed to be like more or less like a good luck
charm.
So
let me ask you this. So it hasn't been given out in 75 years. Yes. Why this year?
Well, the Golden Gloves came to me, and they wanted me to have an award. You know, Tony Superbad Harrison has an award.
Okay.
And he's giving it to, like, the open class fighters.
Okay.
And, you know, I was trying to, you know, figure out what kind of award I want to give. And I was like, oh, you knock out of the tournament. Well, you know, obviously amateur boxing.
Not a lot of knockouts.
Not a lot of knockouts, some stoppages, but, you know, it's not what it's about, really. Mm-hmm. So, after some research and stuff, the Silver Trophy was something that I thought was really cool and needed to come back. And so I got more or less a replica of that trophy made.
Okay.
It looks just like the original
one. Okay.
It's big. It's a mahogany wood frame on the bottom.
Okay.
You know, it's heavy.
And this will be given out like every year now?
Yeah.
Or?
So, yeah. I will myself into giving one out every year.
Okay. Well, so will it be like a Stanley Cup thing where like I get to hold it for a year and then I got to turn it back in? Or?
No. They can keep it.
Okay.
I wanted it so when they have it at their house, they can have it for their whole life.
And okay.
It's something you could actually display.
Right.
In case 75 years a board member's asked, somebody will have a possession of it.
Yeah, right.
Say,
they could look and see whose names were engraved on it.
Well, and actually I was going to say, there'll be the trophy. Is there going to be some kind of plaque to go along with it with the names of each winner?
Well, I know it's going to be, you know, on the Golden Gloves
Google website. Doc. There's going to be a Google Doc.
Google Doc. Okay.
You know, so obviously we're going to have the
Right,
Google
right,
Google
absolutely,
website.
Right.
And I feel like you're going to have to make me, like, get a plaque made.
So, yeah. Well, I mean,
thanks, Jimmy.
No, I'm sorry. I was asking because I thought that would be kind of a cool idea.
I mean, I got a plaque, like, for showing up at Little League. The least you could do is have a plaque, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, that has each winner on it.
The trophy's sick.
Yeah. And maybe that'll be the thing that you have to turn in every year. You get to keep the trophy, but the plaque you turn in every year, and it'll have the name of everybody.
I like the idea of that, but unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, people turn pro, they don't.
And then they lose it. Yeah, okay.
Something good, not good great could happen in their life.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good point.
Friends don't want to be chasing down no plaque,
right? No, not really.
Playing the repo man.
I
can tell you this, Jimmy. The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
Ooh, Top Gun reference.
Right there
Hello,
it is.
Hello, boy.
Top Gun reference of the
really
show.
Really quickly, though, Barnes, because this is the number one question that everyone gets. You fought in the Metro Detroit Gold Gloves.
Yeah.
Explain to everybody, novice open. A lot of people don't know.
Okay, so novice fighter is like realistically 10 and under. 10 fights and under, so like 0 to 10. Open is 10 and over. So, you know, you have less experience, more experienced guys. So, that's, I mean, that's what it is. It's very simple and basic, you know?
You'd be surprised that's like the number one question we get, though, because people just don't understand, you know?
Well, I just figure, you know, like the open class fighters, they get to travel. When they win, they get, you know, going to nationals is fun as can be. So, and you get national experience, you get all different types of, you know, stuff from that. So, you know, give the younger kids or the unexperienced kids, you know, they, you know, get something cool out of it. So.
Right. There's two more days for registration, too. It's $15 and it includes your shirt. Downtown Boxing Gym, it's happening 6 to – I got to look it up. Dang. It's happening at Downtown Boxing Gym this Thursday and then 2 to 6 Saturday at Dynamic Boxing Gym. So definitely come out and register. The bigger the tournament, the better. We had a great tournament last year.
And on top of it, we got some T-shirts that I wore last week.
Shirts are sweet.
They're awesome. They're
they have your sweat
retro.
In them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there, did you charge extra for that?
I was sweating in them.
Yeah. I mean, just said you charged because I want. I like
it. Hey,
I dig your musk. That's all I'm saying. I like your musk.
Yeah, so, you know, that is the first time. That's the first time I've ever seen just a modicum of disgust come out of Cody's face. Just a small bit. It was a passing thing. Like,
it was just like, oh, what the
No, but there's retro shirts from like the cover or you know poster from the 1939 Golden Glove.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
on the front of there.
Yep.
And you can only get them at the tournament, and there's a very limited amount of them that got printed. So.
Okay.
You know,
very cool.
We should go get them.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's paying tribute to the past, the rich history.
You know,
of the
so
Golden
I'm bringing
Gloves.
The trophy back, and then the Golden Gloves bring the you know retro style shirts.
You guys are doing it right. Yeah. Well, it sounds awesome.
You know, Cody just skipped over and turned a pro boxer. One day, I'm at a Carlos show, and all of a sudden, Cody comes out of these.
I had 15 amateur fights.
I know. I'm just saying, like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, I took it.
Surprised it.
You know, it was like 24-hour notice.
You're right. I'm like, he wasn't. Oh, there
you go. Make $1,000? What am I doing?
but it was cool because everybody, like, didn't know, like, you know, the change and everything like that. And then when they found out that you were an MMA fighter, everybody's asking me on the media row. They're like, well, who is that guy? And I was like, oh, that's Cody Stamen. And I knew what I was talking about for a moment. Like that's Cody Stamen.
It always surprises me when an MMA fighter like you know like does box because I was like I would like I don't like I would worry that you'd like forget like oh I'm boxing I can't kick this guy in the head when
no I mean I don't think you accidentally kick somebody in the head
well I just mean like you like
be on purpose
but I mean like you get into like a mode right
yeah, like fight mode
yeah like you're in fight mode and so like
but we do
I mean, threw this combination of punches my next thing to do would be kick the dude right? But I can't kick the dude
right. Yeah, I mean, MMA fighters probably should never box. I mean, we don't, like, boxers, all they do is box. They're a lot better at boxing than we are. So all right, advice to fighters would be to stick to what you're good at.
We're going to go to our last break. We're going to try to track down Greg from The Art of Relationships. If not, we're just going to have an open discussion with a couple professional fighters about it. And we'll be – oh, and we got to do superhero powers for fighters. We'll be back.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
And we're back.
Welcome back to The Undercard, everybody. We are broadcasting live above Active 8 Gaming. And we want to give a shout out to PodcastDetroit.com and all the shows on here that make our life a lot of fun. So,
see.
Welcome to The Undercard, episode 182. If you're just checking us out on podcast, we're welcome back. So... Jimmy came up with a really cool idea.
Yeah, so we're
it's a big week.
Sorry,
Jesus, Jimmy.
Batman vs. Superman.
The mic's right
Batman,
in front of you.
Batman vs. Superman. Last week, we did the USA Today March Madness brackets with all the superheroes and stuff. So I thought it'd be a little interesting to, today to go over real life boxers and MMA fighters, both old school and new school. I kind of broke them down in those two different categories. And just have us guess, like, or imagine if superpowers actually existed, what kind of superpowers would they have and how would they get them? So we're going to just run down the list. I'm going to say a fighter. I'm going to give my take on how they got their powers and what powers they included. So the first one is Joe Louis.
Right.
So an explosion at an experimental chemical plant gave Joe his powers. His powers include super strength, a punch so hard it breaks the sound barrier, and skin so tough it is almost impenetrable. All right, Brad, Joe Louis.
Joe Louis's superpower would be shit.
Wow. No. Well, he is called the Brown Bomber.
They did call him the Brown Bomber, yeah. So
God, dude,
he would lay a nuclear shit on his on his nemesis.
You know what? I think his power would be the ability to read minds, because I think at the time he was fighting and what was going on in the world at the time, I thought that he had the ability to unify people. So I would think that he was able to read minds.
All right. Cody, you got a guess? Or want to chime in?
Definitely power.
Okay.
Obviously, you know.
Yeah.
He hit like a truck.
Barnes?
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Truck, yeah.
Yeah, I went off of the Brown Bomber nickname, and I said he would have an atom punch. And so, like, when he could – whatever he punched, it was like with the force of a nuclear blast.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Nice. Liz, do you want to chime in? No? Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. So the next one is Muhammad Ali. He got superpower by being stung by a radioactive bee and bitten by a radioactive butterfly,
yeah, of course,
which gave him super speed, super senses to the point of almost precognition and higher than average intelligence.
Oh, that's what I was going to do until you said it. I would give him above average intelligence. Okay. I'd say he's really smart. He had the ability to sell a fight and was not even the poetry stuff. I mean, he was smarter than most of his opponents.
Okay. Cody?
I'd say he's a joker. Just because
he's a villain.
Yeah, almost.
Okay.
I mean, in real life, no, he wasn't.
Right.
I think
right.
in the time he might have been a villain to some, but you know, the way he approached his life, he was always kinda he always had that like really optimistic, almost to the point of being
cocky.
He thought everything was funny. He thought everything was funny, you know, everything was like he was always messing around. He's never really taking himself seriously.
Okay. Barnes?
Seeing into the future. Like earlier in his career, he was good at
the predictions.
You know,
yeah.
He was good at all that.
Okay. So. All right.
Mark? I said it was super speed, of course.
Right.
Which, I mean, he kind of had that anyway. But going with the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, he could also fly, and he could actually – he had a stinger.
Okay.
He could sting you and
– Okay.
Yeah, so
all right.
That was
the next one, Evander Holyfield. He gets experimented on by a mad scientist. He is given metal skin, super strength, and a healing factor.
I think that actually happened.
I would I would give him the superpower regeneration so he could get his ear back.
Right, exactly.
Well, see, mine go. I actually said that he would get super hearing
from getting bad.
So okay. His ear was bitten off in a freak accident.
All right,
Cody, super I went for Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, I'd say he's like the Wolverine without the metal.
Okay, all right. And same thing with you, Barnes.
Yeah,
super healing.
Okay, metal skin right there.
Gotcha. All right. Next one is Mike Tyson. He uses a protein shake, which is contaminated with a radioactive isotope.
Jesus Christ, Jimmy.
He gets super hearing, super strength, and super sight.
Okay.
All right. First off, before I give my superpower of Mike Tyson, actually give him credit. You know how tough it would be to bite off a piece of someone's ear?
Yeah, that's what I was
saying.
That
actually took a lot of strength.
This is a real question. Did he spit his mouth guard out, or did he have a mouth guard and bite his?
The first time he had the mouth guard, I'm trying to think. We'd have to watch the video because he bit it twice.
I think the first time he spit it out, the second time it was kind of dangling there, and he just kind of pulled it off.
Oh, man. Yeah. Anyways, I would say he has the ability to see into the future because he was actually, as much as people remember him for his knockout speed, he was a defensive fighter first with the peekaboo style.
Mm-hmm.
He was normally reacting to what he was given by a fighter, so I think you'd have to have the ability to know what's coming and react to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say power and super fast reaction time.
Okay.
Speed. Super speed.
Speed. Yeah.
Fast.
Okay.
His magic face tattoo would allow his face to morph. Would allow his face to morph so that he would look like a bulldog, or that could just be his face.
All right. So the next one is Tommy the Hitman Hearns. He gets assaulted on the main streets of Detroit, which unlocks his mutant abilities, including healing factor, breakable bones, and time shift. He can actually speed up or slow down time as he needs.
Mm.
Interesting.
I would give him the superpower of like maybe like a messed up clan that gives him like super courage or something, because here's a guy that didn't duck anybody, mm-hmm. fought everybody. So I would say it's a clan that gives unlimited courage, allows him to battle.
Okay.
Speed. His hands speed. Were so fast. Yep.
The
so
power fast. To put people asleep.
Right. Going off of his nickname, I said that his hands could become gangster-style Tommy Guns.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. All right. So that's the old school boxers. We're going to move on to new school boxers. First up is Floyd Mayweather. While bathing in a bathtub of money, he gets poisoned, he gets poisoned by the ink from some counterfeit currency. It changes the molecular structure of his body. He gets teleportation, precognition, think spidey sense, and the ability to literally pull money out of his own ass.
Yeah. Mine's similar.
It's wow. Awesome. His superpower would be he would have for sure above average intelligence. He was really smart. He's smart. He could mid fight adjust to anybody. So I would say he has the ability to morph, because I remember him at I'll always remember how he adjusted mid-fight to every fighter.
Okay.
I feel like he can read his opponent's mind. Like, okay. He has some kind of mind-reading power. Because he is literally – he knows what you're going to throw back.
Yep.
You know, he figures guys out so fast. And, you know, he's moving before you even start throwing. If you like watch a highlight tape on him, he's already – he's gone.
He's moving before they even throw it.
Before you throw it, he's already gone.
That's where the precognition – that was what I had.
I'm going to give him the same power as Tommy Hearns, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Because I fell asleep watching him.
All right.
I would say his superhero power is that his head can swell to mammoth sizes, allowing him to float around and shit money.
All right.
All right.
All right, moving on. Triple G, Golovkin. He takes a vacation as a child with his family and gets lost and wanders into Chernobyl.
Of course.
Gets massive amounts of radiation. He gets super speed, super strength, and the ability to alter the timeline by 5 seconds.
I would give him right now the power of invincibility, because he believes it. Other people believe it right now, so he would be invincible.
Okay.
I haven't seen much on him, but I would say he has a pretty gangster nickname.
Triple G.
Triple G. Yeah. That's my boy, Triple G.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Invincibility was good.
Okay.
Like, he has that Mike Tyson thing about him right now. Everyone's scared of him. Yeah. So I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know what his superhero power would be either, but I know his secret identity is Pavel Datsyuk.
Okay.
So he looks just like
him. All right. Moving on, Klitschko. He's experimented by a Russian scientist during the Cold War. He is given Hulk-like abilities, but now he can only say Klitschko smash.
His superpower would be his hands can clamp and hold on, because that's what he does most of his fights. He holds on
all right.
to the victory.
All right.
I don't know.
A lot of clenching. Just anything with his arms clenching.
Like me when I'm in jail.
Right. All right.
How about you, Barnes?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Okay.
No. I think his head can turn into solid rock.
Solid rock.
It just looks
okay.
like it.
All right. Moving on. Pacquiao, bitten by a monkey who escaped from a lab, given super agility, super speed, and super intelligence.
God, which Pacquiao? The one now or the one when he beat Hatton? When he beat Hatton, I would say speed. He had an unbelievable speed. He could throw 7 punches in under 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the ability to mentor younger superheroes, I guess.
Oh, God.
I don't
know. Okay.
I hope not.
Got that Xavier.
Xavier thing.
No, that's coming up. That's coming up, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I have somebody for that.
All right. He's so fast.
Okay.
Yeah, speed.
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 Okay.
I went based off of the incredibly offensive things he said a few weeks ago comparing homosexuals to animals.
Okay.
Saying that they were worse than animals. So I said that he opens his mouth and ignorant offensive shit falls out.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
also, I hope he gets ass cancer.
All right. All right. Last one for the boxers, Canelo.
I do. I hope. I pray for that every night.
All right. Moving on to the last boxer, Canelo was born with a rare genetic mutation which allows him to alter his body chemistry. He is given shape-shifting, the ability to purge all toxins from his body and reinforce bones.
Canelo would be I don't want to use power again. Let's give Canelo the ability to I'm going to give him the ability I don't even know, man. I'm going to give him the power ability, I guess.
Okay.
He's got unbelievable power.
All right.
He's got the ability to turn his pubes red.
He has a fire crotch. Yeah.
He can turn anyone red.
He has a fire crotch.
Barnes?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to.
Okay.
I don't want to give him one. I want to fight him someday.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, watch out because given his dual heritage of Irish and Hispanic, I said that he could summon a leprechaun that tricks his opponent into drinking until they pass out. Then he calls on the spirit of Montezuma to give them terrible diarrhea while they sleep.
Oh, and he's a fire crotch.
He's a fire crotch.
You always got to look out for them. All right, we're moving on to MMA now. This is old school MMA. First one up is Hoist Gracie. He was given an experimental vitamin which made his body amorphous. Abilities include the ability to stretch his body into any shape he wants, the ability to slow his breathing and heart rate down to about one beat and one breath per 5 minutes, and the ability to speak every language known in this or any other galaxy.
I would give him the ability to, like, inflate, like, anaconda or something, that so when it's strangling something that its body is able to inflate to finish off a choke.
Okay.
I don't think he has a superpower.
Okay. All right.
He just got lucky.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I don't know anything about MMA fighters.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. All right.
I know he's been around for a while, so I said that he was the Professor X of the Superstars.
Okay. All right.
Because we know he has the gym around, like in Michigan, right?
There's a Hoist Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
So he's the Professor X.
All right. Next up, Ken Shamrock. He was shot in the head, which triggered an autoimmune response in his body, unlocking mutant powers. Abilities turn his skin into any material it touches at will, the ability to absorb other people's powers, and the ability to also absorb other people's memories. But when this happens, he loses memories of his own, making his memories fractured.
Ooh.
I'm going to say he has no superpowers. And as like Batman, where he hides behind something, he hides behind those muscles. I really think Kim Shamrock has no superpowers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think his superpower was made in a lab, and I think it's called steroids.
Okay. Barnes? Knows nothing about any MMA fighter. All right.
I say time travel, but you can only go back as far as the early 90s.
All right, moving on. Tito Ortiz, during a surfing lesson, he got bit by a radioactive shark. Abilities include swimming underwater, shark-like skin, and the ability to snap any bone in the human body.
I would say stamina, because he was with Jenna Jameson during his fight career, so I have to imagine that was
all right. Yeah,
he had
absolutely
to do his duties in bed and in the gym as well.
Good for him.
I don't know. I think she probably did her duties like during the day. And they just cuddled and watched movies or something.
She'd be like, "That's what I do for my day job. Yeah, why do I want to have really sex?"
Yeah, right. She's like, "If I have to put another one down my throat."
Hey, honey, how was your day at work today? Oh, I got slammed today.
She sure did. Yeah.
Really hard day.
We were slammed.
Yeah, you did.
Mark,
I didn't have to sit down all day.
Mark.
Who are we on?
Tito Ortiz.
Oh, yeah, okay. He can place himself inside any bad movie ever made.
Oh, all right.
And he has the
biggest head in several. He was in a few bad movies.
All right. Moving on, Chuck Liddell, the Iceman, was trapped in a frozen lake as a child. Body unlocked a mutant gene which gave him the ability to absorb the five elements, earth, air, wind, fire, and water. Powers are derived from the elements, i.e. water power, given water powers, etc.
His superpower would be his toughness. He was a tough character, still is a tough guy, even though he's not fighting anymore. But he's just unbelievable toughness. I don't know how he got it, but strong toughness.
Okay.
He had like the greatest takedown defense of anyone I've ever seen. Like,
okay.
Just couldn't be taken down.
Barnes? Barnes just points to me. Well, because he was on Dancing with the Stars, I gave him super dancing abilities.
Oh, okay. Was he?
He was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But he was eliminated. He was like, he and his partner were like 11th place. Like they, but he was
all right. Last one.
I found that out on his Wikipedia.
All right. Last one for his old school MMA, Randy Couture. Was bullied as a child and decided to become a vigilante as an adult. He has no powers, but is an amazing tactician and fighter. Someone builds him toys. Think Batman.
He kind of at the time when he was fighting, he was racing against Father Time. I mean, he was fighting good into his end. So I would believe that he would have the ability to stop time so that he's able to compete with people that's okay. less his age.
I checked out. Who are we talking about?
Couture. Randy Couture.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right, Marv.
His ridiculous cauliflower ear spits venomous earwax.
That's true.
The ability to design some of the ugly shirts I've ever seen.
Have you seen that ear? Yeah. It's frightening. It's like, all right.
We got five more and then we're done. New school MMA. Conor McGregor, while trying to perfect a new form of Guinness, he fell into a vat of beer with new chemicals in it. He gained time travel, can move forward or back in time at will by 1 minute, can manipulate his joints to bend in unusual ways, and can imbibe beer without ever getting drunk.
I believe Conor McGregor has the ability to also time travel because he was able to be in the right place at the right time with a good marketing machine with UFC. And so I think right place, right time, so time travel.
Okay.
He has an amazing gift of gab. He's probably one of the wittiest people okay. I've ever seen.
All right.
The ability to sell a fight. You know,
all right. Yep. Yeah.
Barnes okay. is in.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
So marketing.
That guy's must-see TV.
Marketing.
Must-see TV.
Yeah. I said invincibility, but only when he's drunk.
Okay. All right.
Because he's Irish.
Shit, I got drunk
Jose Aldo, cosmic rays change his molecular structure, can turn into dust and move around at his will, which also allows him to make his body harder or softer at will.
I know his weakness is a counterpunch at the 12 second mark. I'm trying to think what his strength would. I don't have a strength for him right now. Endurance, because he was able to have such a long fight streak. He was pound for pound the champ for the longest time.
All right.
Yeah, Jose Aldo Mi is like one of the staples of MMA. I think he's like Superman.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, back out.
Sorry, Mark.
I don't really have much to say. So I don't really know much about him either. So I say he can turn into a pile of goo.
Okay.
Hey, I'll say this, though. I know everyone's name. I just don't know how they fight.
Okay.
So, yeah, right. Yeah, I know. I just, yeah. I know.
All right. next up, it's a dynamic duo, Nate and Nick Diaz. They smoked a batch of weed with chemicals that were leaked out of a government lab. They fused together into one giant person. When in that state, they have the ability to fly and super strength, also super munchies. Mm.
I think they would have the ability to grow pot anywhere. They don't need the lights or anything. They just sprinkle some stuff in it.
All right, and it grows.
They're like Floyd Mayweather meets Cheech and Chong.
You're right, exactly.
That's
right.
That's all
right, right. Nope. All right, Mark.
Pass it on.
All right.
I would say they're very much like the Wonder Twins. When they clink their bongs together, they can take the form of anything made with hemp.
Okay. Ronda Rousey, she had a spell put on her when she was young. She could manipulate magic energies. She can bend reality to her will and can alter the fabric of space to the point that she looks like she's teleporting.
I would say she would have the ability to grow a third arm because she was taking everybody else's arm for a while there. So it's like I'd say like something third arm.
Okay.
With arm bars.
The right. ability to make people think that she knows how to fight.
Ooh, oh, wow. Shots fired. All right.
The ability to, I don't know, whine more than anybody.
Oh, I remember when you had a crush on her, Barnes.
No, but listen. No, listen.
Dude, if you saw her in person, you wouldn't have a crush.
Did you see her on Ellen when she was crying? Is that what changed your mind?
No, she's like talking about like killing herself and shit. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I heard
like,
that.
Really?
Oh, you lost one fight and you're going to
get over
it. Come on.
Get over it.
She talked about
that. She's really terrible. She's not a good fighter. Like, she's a one-trick pony.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Now that people figure that trick out, she's...
All right. Marv?
The ability to disappear.
All right, this is the last one. Holly Holmes. She is a long-lost daughter of a race of super beings from another planet. She has super strength, super speed, and the ability to communicate with animals.
I believe her superpower would be I don't know. Her superpower would be – I can't give her a superpower.
Okay.
I don't know enough still about her.
Unbelievably humble.
Okay.
She has permanent sad face.
Yeah.
Permanent sad face. Yeah. All right.
She didn't.
It's not a superpower, but it's just true.
Yeah.
She does, though. Like, you know, you have like a permanent bitch face. She has a total opposite.
Okay. She's just like standing bitch face.
Yeah. What about you, Marv?
She can crush anything with her vagina.
Well, there you go.
I hope so. Wow. I hope
You take the preacher's daughter there, huh? Yeah. That's what you got.
Preacher's daughter.
All right. Wow. Well, that was the last one, so we've gone through all the boxers and MMA fighters. But if you have any insights or if you want to post on Twitter who you think our list, what superpowers
you think they might have, post it to our Twitter account.
Well, I got one for Holly Holm.
Or Facebook. Okay.
And this
or
is,
Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, and this will probably negate her from ever coming on the show. But her freckles are allow her to change the way she looks because her freckles like, up close are everywhere.
Like Mystique?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my super.
I like freckles, though. I think freckles.
I got to ask Cody, though, while we're on the subject of Holly Holm. She didn't tap out. Misha Tate put her to sleep. So then the next argument was like, you know, Conor McGregor, the next fight after he taps. Some people say quick and stuff like that. I mean, to me, unless you've had a rear naked choke. No. The question is Paige Van Zandt. Some people said, you know, if you tap, you're less of a person, like, you know, a less of a fighter. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it depends on how fast, like, you're starting to go out. Like, really, like, sometimes you get choked and it's like, okay, this is tight. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, I'm going to sleep. You know, you don't really have time to tap. I think other times someone just starts choking you and immediately you know, like, I'm not getting out of this. I'm screwed. I don't necessarily think that tapping is a bitch move because I would much rather tap than wake up from, you know, I don't know if you've ever been choked out.
Oh, yeah. You don't know the last five minutes.
Oh, yeah. Coming back from being choked out is like a real weird.
Yeah.
It's not like being knocked out. It's like a different.
Well. Look,
it's almost like everything's like kind of slowly coming back to you, and you're just in this like euphoric weird place.
So
I think I'd rather just tap. Like, there's no harm in tapping.
From like a rules and
reason, that's a rule.
From like a rules and regulation, like does it count as a knockout if you're
It's submission.
If you tap, it does not count as a knockout.
No, it's a submission.
Does it count as a knockout if you're put to sleep?
If you get put to sleep, you get a longer suspension.
That was my point. Is like if you tap, do you get a suspension or anything if you tap?
Not only that, but not tapping there's all kinds of I know a few guys that have had like issues with they don't tap and their partner doesn't know that they're unconscious because their body's still kind of fighting it and they're unconscious. They get choked out. They've been out for a minute. Like your brain's not getting the right amount of blood. That can cause some serious health issues. Like it's not. I guess I couldn't compare it to boxing, but I mean, it's like you get knocked down in a sparring session, and you're like, you know, screw that, I'm gonna get back up when probably like you're concussed. Like, there's really nothing to prove after that. You know, you get basically knocked out in a sparring session. You get up and you keep fighting. I don't really see the point.
Fight another
in
day.
Fight another day. Fight. You know, let your brain heal. There's no, you know, you're not proving any how tough you are.
Right.
I believe that too. If you know, trainers that let their fighters go too long where they're clearly being outclassed or something like that, let them fight another day. Sometimes you just, you know, you catch an opponent on a bad day or anything like that. You see it a lot in boxing, don't you? Where like the trainers, sometimes they should just
like mumble a lot, you know, but I've done that my whole life. A lot of these people, like, they'll talk perfect, you know, clear as can be, and then, you know, a couple years later, you know, like,
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. It's scary. It's really scary being a fighter and seeing guys get punched drunk. It's scary stuff.
You know, all these people have families and everything else. It's messed up.
Well, we want to thank Cody Stamann for coming. And
Cody, again, I just looked up your fight. It's Knockout Promotions 48, the Deltaplex Arena this Saturday. Your opponent's name is Farkad Sharapov.
Okay.
You can watch it either going to Grand Rapids to the Deltaplex Arena or
the Deltaplex,
on GoFightLive.com.
Live. Right. Deltaplex.
Right.
Your ticket gets you the entire seat.
But you'll only need the edge. I like that, dude.
Yeah,
I love that. You definitely got to check out our favorite Cody Stamann. Thank you once again, Champ, for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the memes.
We'll keep them coming.
Pretty confident right now. Real confident going into this fight.
Just remember, Cody Stamann is your mom's favorite child.
That's right.
Now we got to close on this really quick. Cody, you held the record for being on the undercard the longest, and then Barnes caught you and then blew past you.
Yeah, he did. He did blow past me.
But you moved away. You were in Vegas for a little bit and some other stuff. But is this something that you think you can reclaim one day, or is this just out of question?
You know, I don't know. I think he's pretty far ahead of me right now. But
Waiting for him to take a fight in Russia or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, go to a training camp in Russia.
If I start fighting again, you know, then, you know, eventually he'll get there.
I'll be here every
every Tuesday for the next.
Well, Barnes just started showing up. Like it was. I mean, he, of course, you guys are always welcome, but he just started showing up like week after week, and we're like, I'm like DeBrand. I'm like, did you like? Is Barnes like on staff now? And like nobody told me.
He gives insight, and then if we had an MMA fighter give an MMA insight,
see my that's great. My insight though is I mean I'm pretty. Pretty biased, you know. I was like, what do you think about this guy? I'm like, he sucks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Rhonda, you wouldn't like her if you seen her up close. That's the insight we need, dude.
I'm 100% being honest. I saw her in a dress and I was like, dude, what is this guy wearing a dress for?
Oh. Cody's like, man, I think her penis is bigger than mine. That ain't right.
I know it is.
And on that note, we'll see you next week.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.